Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Slash and dash.
Ooh, that was quite tuneful.
Well, we did very well then. If you hear any other weird noises.
It's all the tradesmen in my life now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had to see that thing, like, do you know when you're like annoyed with a job they've done and you have to get them back around and you're like, I'm really annoyed, but would you like a drink?
Yeah, and try and be nice enough that they're not going to do a spite poo in your bathroom.
Spite poo I can handle. It's spite shoddy workmanship that I'm
spite poo you can handle if they'd done the plenum right the first time.
Yeah. All right, so you guys, patrons who we love and think are fabulous, you voted for those ears. Though I think they just wanted to see a good set of ears. Like,
we will post a picture of the ears, and really they are spectacular. Maybe it's because it's timed with the release of the new Dumbo film. People are getting excited about ears generally.
Well, they thought we were going to do a slash and dash on the true crime of keeping elephants.
Is Dumbo based on a true story?
No.
Well, no, obviously one that didn't fly, but maybe it was just about
a really special
baby elephant.
I accidentally went to a circus that had tigers and I found it really upsetting in Paris.
Awkward.
And I was like, yeah, this is not good. I thought all circuses were okay now. Apparently not.
Nope.
So this is the story of Giorgio Vizzardelli, who is an Italian serial killer. I think it might be our first Italian story.
Possibly.
Hola. It's not hola, is it?
No.
Ciao.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. So he was born in 1922 in Sarzana, which is a town in the northwest of Italy. And his father was like a tax officer. But it seems a lot of the places where people could work, they had what they called the director. So he was like the director of whatever it was, the taxes. Oh, the guardian. They had the guardian and the director, which I don't understand, but they come up a few times.
Oh, that's one person, the guardian.
Yeah.
Of the company.
Yeah. So his dad was like very strict and his school was very strict. So he had kind of a lot of rules as a child, but he was kind of lazy, so he was always getting I think he wasn't in trouble for being bad, he was just in trouble for not bothering as much as he could have bothered.
That was really interesting on the Teacher Misery Instagram, which and you look at that, someone was putting about, someone posted something about lazy kids, and then for the first time I saw quite a heated debate in the comments. Like, normally everyone's like, kids are shit, but then there was really like angry messages back and forth about whether or not children were lazy or whether it's the teacher's fault because their lessons were boring.
Oh.
And loads of teachers were like very much like, there's no such thing as a lazy child, it's our fault, to we have to engage them, we have to do this. There is no reason why they shouldn't be engaged in the lesson if we're doing a good job. And then other people like, what if they're homeless though?
Oh. sometimes like learning can be a bit boring. Like, you'd rather be watching, like, Glow Up on BBC, which is my new favourite thing.
Sometimes you can be lazy. Like, I've got some kids who just know exactly what to do to meet the minimum requirement.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not that they're not working in lesson or they're pissing around. It's just that they won't do more than they absolutely have to. That's laziness.
Yeah, 100%. I've got loads of that. But then I've got loads who will just go above and beyond and are fantastic.
Anyway, this guy was lazy.
Yeah, so this
giving
guy
him
was lazy.
A full parents' evening, right?
Yeah. Our reviewers, he could be doing more.
Yeah, reviewers, to achieve his potential, he'll need to start pushing himself in lesson time
if he wants to get his target grade. So He was generally considered okay. Like, he was just lazy. So when he was a child, he experienced a strong earthquake as well. And that kind of like made him a bit more nervous and a bit more
scared.
It made
it sound like it was very singular. Like, it was just him. He experienced yeah. a strong earthquake. Not there was an earthquake where he lived. Just.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much more follow-up to that, but I guess it was a notable experience from his childhood. Okay. So he didn't like that. So he had two hobbies as a young man. I guess this was like sort of 13, teenage-ish, 12, 13. One was gun shooting.
And yeah, there was racism.
The other one was wanking.
I was going to say olden days Italy, like, it was going to be a shot at one of
it
few.
Wasn't really wanking. It was gun shooting and making homemade alcohol. Which okay. I guess would make him kind of popular.
Yeah.
Like, I got guns and booze, brilliant. So not so lazy at home. That's quite a lot of effort.
Very industrious.
Yeah. And he also enjoyed reading books about the American gangster Al Capone. I mean, he's reading, he's got interests.
I've changed my mind completely. Maybe it was the teacher's fault.
Maybe it was.
They should have done a whole curriculum around moonshine and...
Yeah, your chemistry is...
Yeah.
...illegal substances. So at age 14, Giorgio starts committing some murders. So he takes his gun into school... And he kills the guardian of the college. Just flat out shoots him.
Oh, dear.
I don't know what... I think that's like assistant head.
I'm no longer enjoying it now. He's a school shooter, yeah. Basically.
And then he goes into the college director's office and shoots... who offers him money and thinks, oh, well, this is down to money. You know, take this money. But Giorgio also still shoots him. So I guess he's like the head teacher. So he's killed the head teacher and assistant head. And then he shoots a friar on the way out because I think he works at the school, but he also recognises him.
Like the chaplain or something.
Yeah. So then he's killed three members of staff. He just goes home, pretends nothing happened. Like, completely behaves normally. I mean, I guess he's like into guns, but...
I mean, it's quite a good strategy, I'll be honest.
Later when he's talked about these crimes, he said he killed the director. It was all about the director. He wasn't really bothered about the other two. It was just to get in there.
So he didn't kill any students or anything like that? Didn't kill any students.
But he said he killed the director because the director...
They called him lazy?
Well, he'd slapped him for burning some maps. And I was like, well, he shouldn't have been burning maps, really. Like.
There's so much to that story.
So
like, why those maps? Was it just that he wanted something to burn? Or was he trying to, like, burn... I don't know, specific countries or... And then he just slapped him around the face.
Yeah. So his revenge was to shoot him in the face, which is not proportionate. No. So Giorgio went home after the murders. He behaved like nothing happened. There were no witnesses because he'd killed all the ones that had seen him enter. Obviously, there's no CCTV. This is like 1930s. So no one suspects him. And the police believe that it's probably down to political agenda because these people... Although they worked in a school, obviously involved in politics in the local area.
He wants the right to burn maps.
Yeah. So they arrest someone else, but he's got an alibi, so he's released. So then people start thinking, well, the director had quite a lot of affairs. So he's cheating on his wife quite a lot. So they thought maybe it was one of the women's husbands who'd found out that he'd been sleeping with their wife. So they're just looking in other places. So
infidelity is like the head teacher's disease, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, there's just so much. I guess, like, in your own little world, though, you're sort of, like, the king.
And yeah, everyone's like, in charge of so many women.
But then, like, in the street, you'd be like, this guy's distinctly average. You would. So then, one of Giorgio's friends, who is a barber, irrelevant, he says to Giorgio, oh, you were probably the school shooter. And Giorgio sort of pulls a face and he's like, ah, it was you. So he works it out. Apparently,
he just like pulls an awkward face. Like, yeah. I can tell when you're lying, Giorgio.
Apparently.
Just starts tickling him in a weird barbershop homoerotic wrestle.
Yeah. So then he blackmails Giorgio.
Oh, nice.
For the money that the director...
Everyone is so ballsy in 1930s Italy. I think it's probably the fascism, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that helps.
So then he blackmails him for the money that the director had offered him, which obviously he'd taken as well as a bit of a bonus. So he's like, give me this money. And then Giorgio gives him a bit, but then...
And then shoots him in the face, quite possibly.
Well, and then he gets a bit sick of it. So he's like, well, I'll give you some more money, but I have to go where it's stored. You have to meet me there. So then he tells his friend to come and meet him. And I'm imagining like storage crate. area, but it could be anywhere, couldn't it? And then, so his friend does come to meet him, but he comes in a taxi, and the taxi driver sees him. So he literally just shoots his friend and the taxi driver. It's just like, oh, well, they're both dead. And then just leaves, doesn't, like, hide the bodies, doesn't do anything. He's just like, well, that problem is dealt with. So the police obviously realise it's not a political agenda, it's not someone's spurned husband, it's something else. So they start trying to tie things together in terms of the shooting, but it takes them a bit of time because there's no obvious link. Giorgio, in the meantime, goes to the register's office, which I think is like the tax accountant's, because it said that's where his father's worked, and he kills the guardian there, Giuseppe Bernardi.
Why now?
So he takes money and just shoots the guy, because he's going to start a new life in America and be like, oh, Al Capone.
Okay. So he's just doing what he wants. So he is Al Capone then?
Yeah, no, sorry, he didn't shoot this guy. So this guy was age 75, and what he did was he got an axe and he just swung it, and the axe is found like still sticking in his skull.
Oh, so he still killed him?
Yeah.
I thought it was like, oh, he just threatened him. No, like, he just smashed his head in.
Yeah, he murdered him in an even more brutal way. So this axe is like hanging out of his head when they find him. So the police notice in this murder that there's no forced entry. He doesn't try and hide anything. He just leaves. I guess there's no DNA. They haven't got his fingerprints. But they go in and they're like, well, someone got in here. Someone found a way in here. So they go to Giorgio's house and they speak to his father, who's the director of that office.
Oh, because he would have access.
And they say, you know, what's going on? And then the father was like, well, I've not been there. Let me go get the keys. We'll have a look at them. And he finds the keys, but they're covered in like a sticky substance. And this is related.
Please say it's blood.
This is related to one of Giorgio's
his other hobby. Wanking.
No.
Oh, the alcohol.
The alcohol making. Distilling alcohol uses like a sticky substance, so that it was obviously from that.
Is it the fish guts?
Maybe.
That's in beer, isn't it? They don't do that in other stuff.
Yeah. So they go to question Giorgio because they're like, well, he makes alcohol. So initially he denies everything.
Sticky can of kid.
Yeah. Initially he denies everything. But the police obviously can connect him to the murder. They can connect him to his friend. Now they can connect him to this third murder. Well, yeah, the last murder.
I love that this is the sort of detective work that you see on Sherlock Holmes and Poirot, where they just lick everything. You know what I mean? Like, oh, blood or alcohol ink. Yeah. Like, they probably licked those keys.
Yeah, probably. Oh, fecal matter.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
And then he confesses because he knows that he's got nowhere out. So he says that he murdered the old guy to get the money. He explains why he murdered the other people, like to cover his tracks. And then the director, because he was annoyed that he'd been punished.
He spilled the whole thing.
Yeah, he just told him everything. But he said that he believed when he got to America, he was like, you guys don't understand me. In America, I'd be, you know, idolized. Everyone would think I was amazing because Al Capone.
Oh, he thought you could just go around freely being a gangster.
Yeah. He was like, I'm a gangster. You don't understand.
You don't know nothing about me, see? I'm going to be a gangster, see?
Exactly. But he's still like 14 years old at this point. Like, yeah. So because of his age, he doesn't go on trial for the death penalty, but he does receive a life sentence. And his father sticks by him and he sort of fights for him to be released, even though he's killed like this guy in the office that was probably his friend.
He's just like, he wasn't lazy after all.
Yeah.
He is vindicated.
He's misunderstood. So he's released in 1968. So he would have been 25. So not that long.
25 for killing like 5 people.
Yeah, so when he was 14, I think he went in, or 15, so that was only like 10 years. I guess because he was so young. So then he moved in with his sister after he was released. I guess he had to have an address. Maybe his parents were like sort of too old at that point. But he lived there for 5 years, and then he committed suicide by cutting his own throat with a kitchen knife. So that's the story of those years, though.
Yeah. So it wasn't because he was bullied because of the ears. They were literally about... They are huge as well.
Yeah, massive. I think he sort of grew into them because in the later pictures, they don't look quite so excessively massive, but...
Maybe something like that gives you a chip on the shoulder.
Yeah, maybe there was some snide remarks at one point.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we've got to dash then.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.